Welcome to eHealth Talk, a podcast from Health Informatics New Zealand and hosted by me, news editor at HINZ, Rebecca Macbeth. This podcast provides insight and discussion on key topics of interest from across New Zealand's data and digital health sector. Please be sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Kia ora and welcome to eHealth Talk NZ. Thanks to the College of Nurses Aotearoa for sponsoring this podcast episode, which is the fourth in a series of collaborations we started in 2022. Today I'm joined by Catherine Cook, Associate Professor, School of Clinical Sciences at Auckland University of Technology, who's running three professional supervision two-day short courses for the college in May 2023. Welcome on the show, Catherine, and can you start by telling our listeners a little about yourself?
Kia ora koutou. So, ko Catherine Cook aho. I came to Aotearoa from England when I was about five and have lived here ever since then and feel very grateful to make Aotearoa my home. I've had a long-standing work life in nursing, midwifery, and then I re-qualified as a counsellor. And actually, that was when I first encountered professional supervision, because it was a mandatory part of counselling practice to have fortnightly professional supervision. So I spent about 12 years as a university counsellor, and then after completing doctoral study, I took up a nursing academic position. And it was then that I developed a supervision short course for nurses, because I couldn't see why nurses didn't have professional supervision when their work was as demanding, if not more demanding, than people who are mandated to have professional supervision, such as social workers, clinical psychologists, counsellors. And I also knew that many nurses are excellent communicators, and so I didn't think that they necessarily needed to do a postgrad cert in supervision, that they already had a fantastic skill set and they really needed to be given a package to put around that so that they could offer supervision to others. And that's why I developed the supervision two-day workshop.
Great. So you mentioned there that counsellors, it is mandated. Why isn't it mandated for nurses in New Zealand, and which nurses are more likely to be supervised at the moment?
My understanding is that providing supervision to all nurses is fiscally very challenging. You know, we're such a large workforce, around 58,000 of us, and so there's no regulation around nursing supervision, and there are a few pockets that require professional supervision, like nurses working in mental health areas. For nurses working in hospice, professional supervision is recommended, but the majority of nurses don't have professional supervision. I provide professional supervision to a handful of practitioners a year, and they tend to be in clinical leadership roles and other nursing leadership roles, and also within the hospice context and within the residential aged care sector, nurses in leadership roles there.
So that just leads us on to the question of what is supervision?
So professional supervision is a type of reflective companionship where you have an arrangement with your supervisor that you will meet usually on a monthly basis, and it's a protected time, and that's really, really important to me, that our phones are off. If we're meeting in person, there's a sign on the door saying do not disturb, that I am ready and waiting for my supervisee. I'm not quickly multitasking, finishing off other things. And that makes it different from debriefing. You know, nurses often may be familiar with debriefing after a critical incident. But actually, what we know from accounts of disciplinary processes is that the things that tend to go wrong in practice are things that tend to go wrong over time through people being unreflective about every day, well, this is the way we do it here. And so professional supervision is an opportunity to stay up to date with oneself, with one's own practice, and to, you know, for example, sometimes people will be discussing professional boundaries issues with me, like in a long-term setting, they might have some concerns about if they are forming a bit of a special bond with a resident or a family, and if so, how they're managing that and such like. It's a really nuanced taking care of one's practice. It's also an opportunity to reflect on what goes well. This is really, really important because, of course, when things go well, they're often experiences that are like Teflon, that we don't pause and think, well, why was that? And what was it that I did? And, well, if it went well, could I do more of that? And I think this is particularly the case with things that could have gone wrong, but actually they went right. These are really opportunities to unpack, to see what was going on there. Typically in supervision, there's some key aspects that are focused on. At the heart of supervision is the supervisory relationship. So the supervisee has to feel comfortable with the supervisor. There's no point directing somebody to have supervision. Supervision also requires that the supervisor and the supervisee are willing to do what I call lean into reflective practice. To reflect means that we make ourselves vulnerable to an extent, and to reflect means that we're willing to consider that we can refine our practice, that things are never finalized, never completed. So it's really important that supervision is a safe space where people don't feel like they're having to save face and say, I was perfect and there's nothing I can add to my practice. It is about the vulnerability of leaning into, well, I wonder what else I could have done here, and I was pleased with this, and also I felt uncomfortable about that. So this is part of why an ongoing relationship is very, very helpful. Where we've gone through this process of mihi, of greeting each other, of whanaunatanga, of sharing enough about each other, who we are, where we come from, to then create this container for exploration. So when people come to supervision, the areas that they're often discussing to a greater or lesser degree are areas around their own work life and practice, organisational issues, and their own professional development often.
Well, thank you for that. It sounds quite wonderful, actually. I feel like everyone could do with some supervision in their lives, actually, in their working lives. Can you just tell us a little bit about what does culturally safe supervision mean in the New Zealand context?
So when we look at the Nursing Council guidelines around cultural safety, I really like that line that the nurse delivering the nursing service will have undertaken a process of reflection on their own cultural identity. And I think part of being willing to offer professional supervision is that willingness, again, I'll use that word vulnerability, to become vulnerable, to reflect on who am I and what shaped my views and how might I reflect further on what it means for me as Pākehā, for example, to be tangata titiriti, to be a treaty partner. So I think a culturally safe supervision does begin with the supervisor, and it begins with us thinking, am I the best match for this person? What can I bring? What will the gaps be? And being quite open about that. So, for example, say a Māori academic came to me but wanted professional supervision about their development. I'd have a preliminary conversation with them about what I could offer and where the gaps would be and whether it might be a better fit to have kaupapa Māori supervision provided by Māori, for Māori, to have someone who has an embodied insider experience of what it is like to be a Māori nurse in Aotearoa. What we know for Māori nurses from some research undertaken by Kerry Hunter and others is that Māori nurses have quite considerable challenges because Māori look to them to provide culturally safe care, and yet Māori nurses are endeavouring to deliver that care often within biomedical systems, and often they are the only Māori in that unit or on the floor for Māori to look to. And of course Māori nurses are also experiencing the same casual racism, institutional racism that other Māori experience. So we want to be thinking about what is going to be the most culturally safe experience for the supervisee. We want to be thinking about that too in terms of always being aware that whoever might approach us for supervision may identify as gender and sexually diverse. We want to be careful about pronoun use and not making assumptions about people's gender, their sexuality, their marital status, their cultural identity and such like. So these are important questions that we can have right at the beginning of supervision when we're setting up the supervisory space. I think one of the things about providing supervision, including culturally safe supervision, is that as supervisors we do need to be committed lifelong learners. We do need to be curious and thinking, I wonder what those challenges are, and chatting to people who are different from us and being curious in our everyday lives, going to the literature and seeing what that has to say about challenges that we may not have even imagined. So as part of the workshop, we do a whole morning session on the second day of the workshop, reflecting on what diversity and cultural safety mean in the supervisory relationship.
Yeah, so going on to the 2-day certificated short course, can you just tell us a little bit more about that, how it runs, what's involved?
So what the course will offer is it's crafted so that over the course of the 2 days, people on the course build up a whole kete, a toolkit of resources that then they can take into establishing a professional supervision. So over the course of the day, not necessarily in a linear process, but we address the whole beginning and contracting and how you decide if this might be a good fit or not, and then moving through, well, what might those initial conversations be like, and then how might we unpack the sorts of issues people might bring, such as juggling priorities, managing change, giving feedback, supporting the supervisees to respond to complex communication issues in teams. We look at, for example, concepts such as emotional intelligence. We look at self-care. The overarching focus of the 2 days is how to have conversations where both the supervisor and the supervisee are involved in a reflective process. And sometimes this reflective process is a what I would call a transformative learning experience, where we're not just learning, where we're not just reflecting, but actually we're really examining our beliefs and values and thinking, are these still really a good fit, or do I need to move a bit around this? So for my supervision and what I encourage for Pākehā and Tauiwi who are offering supervision is to have an overarching view when I come to supervision about being part of a titiriti partnership. I've got my ears open and my eyes open to bring a lens of considering equity and access, considering the social determinants of health. It's really important that supervision doesn't become a place to moan about people and to blame individuals, that it's really thinking quite deeply about what is going on here, and also is there some institutional, some organisational responsibility for contributing to the challenges that we face. You know, it could be seen as an opportunity to research practice. So it's really important people understand these 2 days are not death by PowerPoint. I don't even know if I'll show a single PowerPoint. I give what I call little micro lectures that might be 10 minutes long, and then we've got group activities and mini supervision sessions. I don't do made up role plays. People hate role plays, including myself. What we do is ask people to use an experience from their own life that they feel okay about sharing, not the most provocative thing. We want something that's, you know, helpful in a learning environment. And so people find it wonderful because they get micro supervision experiences about all sorts of concerns that they've held. So Kate and I were really keen to hold these workshops face-to-face as well. I think nurses really enjoy that. I see the break times as so important for connecting with each other and sharing knowledge and information.
So you've spoken about the importance of creating a strong relationship and a safe and supportive environment for people to reflect. Just wondering about how you go about that, or how you teach people to be able to create that with their own supervision relationships.
So part of what I do is I slow down. I think not rushing is really, really important. Nurses often have really great communication skills, but they've often learnt to bypass them because there just isn't time. So, for example, one of the things that a habit that nurses find that they need to overcome to provide supervision is the habit of giving advice. So typically somebody has a problem and a nurse gives advice, and if you listen out for that, you'll hear it. Nurses give great advice. In supervision, we want to pause that advice giving because we want an exploratory process where the supervisor comes to understand the world of this person and what they've explored so far and what they've tried, rather than problem, advice, problem, advice, problem, advice. That is not what supervision is. Supervision is supporting somebody to have a rich investigation of their lived experience through curious questions, through slowing things down, and through realizing that probably the person has tried the piece of advice that I'm just about to give because they are a highly capable person. So probably if they've brought this to supervision, it's more complicated than it seems at face value. I think that slowing things down is really important. I use that HUI model. It's a beautiful article by Lacey and colleagues about the HUI process of beginning with mihi. So always taking time to welcome, to greet, to settle, to make sure that we're both comfortable, whether in the same room or on a Zoom meeting, you know, making sure the person has a cup of tea, making sure they're comfortable, making sure they feel safe and private. Whanaunatanga, checking in with each other about family and how we are, and then moving on to the kaupapa, moving on to what is it that we're going to focus on today, and then the kaupapa taking up usually most of the session before the poraporaaki, the closure, and where are we leaving things. Sometimes this will involve karakia. There are some people who will have a settling and either of us will bring a poem or something that helps create a break from people often arrive at supervision, whether online or in person, in a whirl of their mind full of what's immediately behind them and immediately ahead of them. And so part of creating this space is creating a pause.
I'm interested to know how many nurses do participate in supervision, if you know anything about that. And would you like to see more get involved? I can imagine the answer to that one.
Nursing Council doesn't keep any statistics on who receives professional supervision. So we don't currently have ways of capturing these data. So as I mentioned, it's likely to be a very small percentage of our workforce who are receiving professional supervision, and it's likely to be those nurses working in mental health, palliative care, and in senior leadership roles. I would really love for more nurses to have the opportunity to receive supervision and to receive it from nurses. What often happens is that nurses, because they can't find a nurse to provide professional supervision, often have supervision from someone in another discipline, a social worker, a medical practitioner, a psychologist, a counsellor. Sometimes that sort of professional cross-pollination can be very fruitful, because someone from another profession can ask very curious questions about what is going on here. I think most other professional groups, though, really don't have an embodied experience of what it means to do nursing work, whether that's leadership work that involves working often with quite large teams, and what it means to companion people, not just to hear about it before or after, but in the actual moment of people's most profound living and dying moments. I think that other professional groups don't necessarily have an embodied lived experience of what it is that nurses engage with.
Finally, for a nurse who's thinking about doing the course but isn't sure about it and listening now, what would you say to them?
I would say that anybody is most welcome to contact me, and I'm really happy to have a chat about the course and any misgivings they've got. A common misgiving that nurses have about attending is that they imagine that somebody else could do it better, or I'm not ready, or this is a common women thing to underestimate our capability. And I think it's a common nursing thing to be humble, but humble to the detriment of our profession, in terms of thinking, actually, yes, you know, I do really like supporting other colleagues, and I would like to do this. We can lure you with the offer of lovely morning teas, afternoon teas and lunches. We know that people get a lot out of the course and they get some guidance around issues they're facing themselves. They get to think about, gosh, yes, perhaps I should be advocating for myself to have professional supervision. Although the course is intended for people to offer supervision, people sometimes take these skills into mentorship roles or other guide on the side type roles that they have in their workplace. I would really encourage nurses to come. These are small groups. We're aiming at around 16 participants per group because we really want to create that group climate of trust and engagement with each other.
Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Catherine. It's been a great discussion. And thanks to the College of Nurses for sponsoring this podcast episode. To our listeners, I'm sure you'll be interested to find out more about the course, and you can do that on the college website, nurse.org.nz. Until next time. Thanks for listening to eHealth Talk. Be sure to subscribe and share with your colleagues and friends. eHealth Talk, eHealth News and the eHealth webinar series are supported by Health Informatics New Zealand. See hins.org.nz for more information and become a member starting at just $17 a month. We also have affordable organisational membership options for both our industry partners and healthcare providers.